Well, it's such a pleasure to have Valerie McIntyre from all around the world, actually. She is currently based in London, about to be replaced, or not replaced, whatever, in maybe New York or Los Angeles in America. And she works alongside of Simon McIntyre, one of my closest and dearest friends for many years. And they have been running a church in London and have always been on our global team on C3 as very vital members. Great to have you with us, Val.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on board. And thanks also, Ian Borkent from Amsterdam, or a little bit out of Amsterdam. Maybe you could tell us a bit more about that. But Ian is a pastor of C3 Rivers, which they started on just recently. You can tell us a bit more about that as well. But it's a pleasure to have you with us too, Ian. God bless you.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So guys, everybody who's coming on board right now, thanks for joining in. And love you to hit that subscribe button on your machine, whatever you're listening on, so that we will turn up in your inbox every week on a Wednesday with fresh content. And we are trying to make these podcasts as relevant as we possibly can. So rate us and review us. Help us know how we can do better and what subjects you'd like to hear us address. We have a lot of people all around the world that are part of our team and who are very good at their job. And it's a joy to be working with them, but also to actually glean from them information and knowledge that can be very helpful to other leaders, ministers, workers in nonprofits and profits right around the world. So let me say this, Ian. In a pandemic, you went and bought a building, opened it up, and this is when most people are meant to be just online, not even gathering in a building. But you certainly opposed the general feeling and mood around the world. And you did what I call do it now, which is to avoid procrastination, avoid putting off things until there are perfect circumstances, and just get some traction in your life and move out of being paralyzed into a place of momentum. Give us the story of C3 Rivers and their new building.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's just such a huge blessing to have been able to purchase this building this earlier this year. Now, we've been saving for 12 years. And to be honest, last year I was getting a little bit tired, a little bit impatient. And I've always remembered something you've said, like God takes a long time to move suddenly. And I just felt like, okay, God, maybe it's time for one of your suddenlies last year. But who would have expected that in a year where we were not able to meet because the school hall we rented, they closed their building in March and they said to us, look, even if you want to, you can't get in for the next couple of months. So we didn't have a building. And exactly in that month, we found a building that was up for sale. It is a church building. And unfortunately, the Protestant church has seen their membership declining. And so they needed to merge 5 buildings into 3 and sell the other 2. And so because we were a church, and even though the council was also interested to buy that building, and a real estate developer was also interested to buy that building, they said, look, we want to keep this building for the kingdom of God, so we will sell it to you. And so we've been getting the keys. We got the keys in last September, and so ever since we've been meeting there, and it's just so amazing to have the keys to our own building. So, you know, we can set our own health measures and we're not dependent on the world anymore.
Fantastic. So tell me how long you've been functioning as an autonomous church.
We started as a campus church out of C3 Amsterdam. And so we basically, since 2008, Yaditya and I, my wife and I, we became the campus pastors. And then since 2014, we became an autonomous church.
2014, so that's just like 6 years ago. So within 6 years, here you are, opening up your own building. Are you able to gather in that building at present?
Yes, in Holland, there's a strong separation between church and state. So there's a lot of freedoms that we have as a church. Of course, the public eye is on us. So we want to make sure that what we do is, you know, is seen to be, it's healthy. And we care about people, so we take healthy measures. But we have a little bit more freedoms than other places have, and that can be closed at a whim's notice.
Yeah. Amazing. So Val, there in London, you're running a business that's based in America. And I know you're also on the board of a water charity. And certainly you are a definitely do it now kind of person. Ever since I've known you, you are brilliant at enacting and getting things done. From a branding perspective, you're a complete whiz kid. We have enjoyed your skills with C3 and your branding abilities and the rollout, the design, everything. And certainly you've been such a benefit to us in all those areas. So tell us how you have overcome procrastination or just the feeling of treading water and being paralyzed by a pandemic.
Few thoughts on that. I have pretty much always been somebody who moves very quickly. I try to make sure it's strategic. And something to consider as if you move quickly, you know, you just might make kind of crazy decisions. So you got to be careful. But
would you call that impetuous?
It could be. It could be impetuous. Yes, it could be.
Well, if Peter wasn't impetuous, he wouldn't have walked on water.
That's true. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, when you asked me to do this with you and you know, your amazing book, it does bring up, you know, questions about intentionality versus getting it done, et cetera. So we won't go down that rabbit hole right now. But in terms of the pandemic, because I'm located in London and my business is essentially based in New York City, and one of my biggest clients, all of the executives work in various cities across America, much of what I've been doing has been already remote and online. So we are a virtual office and have been for many years now. In our own way, we've probably, not that we've pioneered it, but we've been part of that movement to allow people to work from home. I had to do it, and it turned out to be a really good thing. So this year, when this happened, sadly, we were set up for it. And I guess the bigger question becomes, because I have a variety of clients and very big brands, some smaller startups. Question then becomes, what do I do with them? How do I take them online? How do we turn maybe an offering that was meant to be in person or in real life and put that online in a minute in order for them not to lose momentum? So so that thinking has played into how I run my own business, but it's also very much played into how I help my clients.
Right. How's the competition? Do you find the competition is more fierce? Are you having to work harder, longer, and be more organized?
That's a good question. Yeah. It's not that the competition is more fierce. I think ultimately the clients that you have, unless they're, sadly again, unless they are losing money and some, you know, not that there, many of mine are, but some, many businesses are obviously in troubles in certain sectors like tourism, et cetera. The ones that you have are generally speaking, if you're bringing them good ideas and it's strategic and in line with their brand, they're grateful that you're on their team. So I think actually businesses who have agencies like myself are happy to hold on to you and work harder with you in order to like move the needle these days.
It takes courage and faith, doesn't it, to step out when there's a lot of reasons to doubt. I've always found that I'm never fully confident of everything when I'm stepping out, especially if God has asked you to do something. It's Not like you think, oh, this is all just going to go fantastic. You're going to have some pretty fearful images in your mind about the downside. And so I've called that the fight of faith, which is a scriptural term, but certainly you got to fight those doubts and push the image of the completed result in and make that front of mind so that you are seeing the desired result, because the fear images come without invitation. They force themselves on your mind. It's not like you have to work hard to get a nervous, fearful image of the future. The what if everything goes to custard? When you look at that, it does create more fear in you. That's when you have nightmares. You're up at night. But if I actually bring back to mind the original vision that God gave me, or that I saw. Of what the end result was going to look like. Faith will come into my spirit. And I also find, that speaking promises from God really helps me to build that faith. If I just say to myself, fear not, for I'm with you, says the Lord, that calms my heart, eases my mind, and puts me in the right state of spiritual form so that I can tackle things in the most adverse of circumstances. Would you say that faith is the pathway you're walking in?
Yeah, I really like what you're saying, and I can totally see the value of that. Last week, I think you had a podcast with Vicky Simpson and Tammy Edwards about prophecy, and Vicky Simpson actually prophesied over us in 2011 that we would one day have our own building. Now, I recorded that prophecy and I put it on a playlist on my phone, and I played it in the car like regularly, several times a year, over and over again, even when I didn't see it anymore, even when I started doubting, just to remind myself of God's promises, even though they were long in the making. I just knew that one day they would come through, and this year it's been fearful. It's been challenging. How will it go with the finances? What about people losing their jobs? And can we afford to pay this building? But God has been so faithful. And we had our best vision builders, which is our building fund offering ever, and people have seen breakthroughs in their personal circumstances. So God is a God who is true to his word. And, he declares the yes. And if we keep saying the amen, then we will see the promises come to pass.
Exactly. Part of my book, Do It Now, which is available on Amazon and all the other places, it was inspired by a scripture back in the Old Testament where there are these lepers, four lepers who've been rejected by the city. They don't want to feed them because the Assyrians have mounted a siege around the city. And months and months and months have gone by, and the people are starving because no food can get in or out. They're such a terrible place. They're even living like cannibals, and it is just a dreadful, dreadful state. And so because there's no food, they certainly don't want to feed people who are going to die. It's guaranteed, like these four lepers. So they throw them out the gate, and one of them has this extremely motivating thought one day. He says, why sit we here till we die? And that motivated them all. They all just got up and started walking straight towards the enemy. Well, God amplified their steps, the sound of their steps, so that it sounded like a huge army. And this made all the Assyrians run for their lives. So they defeated just because they got going. They just took a step, and I know that right now Simon and Val are planning a big step and have already taken half of that step by turning their church over to Phil and Lucy Hubbard, and what a great job you've done with that church, Val. It's amazing. But now you're taking another big step out right out of London into, maybe New York or Los Angeles, but to America. How are you feeling about that?
That's an interesting question, because I'm coming at this move a lot differently than I did when I first came to Europe 10 years ago. I just newly married, changing countries. et cetera, and trying to run a business remote for the first time, which was daunting. And I'm married to Simon and he's awesome. And all I have to do really, honestly, and so is get in his wake and just hang out because he just plows forward and I kind of follow behind. And I'm not saying that like humbly or anything. It's true. He carries huge spiritual weight without me having to blink an eye. So going to America, feels different assignment, entirely different type of experience, I think. I have some great relationships with some of the women already that I treasure, and I'm meeting all the new ones that I don't know at all. So I've been doing one-on-ones with everyone just to spend an hour listening to them and hearing from them and what's on their hearts and what their journey has been like, what they see for their future, and also understanding who they're connecting to. So it's a big country, and we want to make sure that everyone feels connected. But I will say, if I'm really frank, that I want to do this a little different, and I wanted to learn from my mistakes, things I did here that I would say, oh, I can build on that and do better. So I'm being as intentional as I can in how I approach going to the States. I'm very thankful and I'm trusting God because I never expected to be doing any of this. And it must be from the Lord. And if it is, then he's got it. And right. If I put my trust and faith in him, then he'll handle it. He wouldn't have put me in a situation he didn't think I could handle or that I wasn't prepared for. But that, real quickly, that brings me back to preparation. So you cannot underestimate the power of sitting with Jesus and listening. And so part of, you know, what keeps me healthy and strong emotionally and spiritually is taking the time out to sit with him and hear from him. Because when he speaks, I have all the confidence I need to do anything.
Totally. Just so everybody understands, Simon and Val are going to the USA so that they can oversee the C3 movement in America. And they have been doing that in Europe for quite a number of years, maybe 10 years, 12 years. 10. Yeah, 10 years, and have done a brilliant job of not just looking after the pastors and pastoring the leaders, but actually of increasing and multiplying the number of churches that we have in the European region. And now Steve Warren is taking that over. That's the guy who was the pastor of Ian Borkent here while he was outreaching, and now he's become an autonomous church. But as we see these people move around the world like Simon and Val, it is a great step of faith, but it's also the whole idea of maintaining momentum. If we stand still and do nothing, if our church just remains in an indecisive, waiting for perfect conditions kind of a church, we're going to lose momentum. We're going to lose traction. And that we need to say that statement to ourselves. Why sit we here till we die? In fact, there's a proverb written by Solomon where he says, he who observes the wind will not sow, and he that observes the clouds will not reap. Now, there's a more paraphrased translation of that that says, if you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. And I have never known there to be perfect conditions to do anything that God has asked us to do. You might think the will of God is going to be, it's just going to be perfect. Everything comes together. It's just no problems at all. I've never found that. I've always found that implementing the will of God takes all the faith you got, all the courage you got, and all the friends you've got, and then some more of whatever you need so that you're in the God zone. And I believe that God wants us there to experience his power, his love, so that he is not just a partner in theology only. He is an actual active partner bringing so much to the table to help us fulfill all that we do. But here's the difficulty. If we don't move, neither does God. So in our moving, God moves, or God moves in our moving. Whatever way you want to say that, but I have found that if I don't do anything, nothing much happens. But when I do something, my action is amplified, like I mentioned before, because God gets involved. And every time we built a new building, bought a piece of land, started a school, a Bible college, a television ministry, or anything, we haven't had what you need to start. We just started with what we've got. And as soon as you got action and motion, I find that that's how God moves with you. And so, Ian, I'm anticipating that you're going to buy another building soon.
Come on. Yeah, well, we're looking for one, in fact, in our other location. So,
what's your other location?
It's in Nijmegen. It's just south of us, 20 minutes south of us. It's a bigger city than Arnhem, where we are currently in our main location. But we started a campus there 2 years ago. Once again, we feel it's so helpful to have your own place, but it does take decisiveness. Like you say, I love what you write in your book, Do It Now, about people wanting to buy a house. And you can keep waiting for perfect circumstances, but then you mentioned to someone, you said, well, why don't you just step out? And someone, they just decided, I'm going to buy a house. And it didn't take money, but it took a choice. And then the money came. And so I feel like if I keep looking, if I keep doing the things I can do, if I do my best, then God will do the rest, as I always say.
Exactly. And that's what faith is. It's deciding. I mean, James says, don't be double-minded. He says, you'll be tossed around by the wind and you will not receive anything from the Lord. That's amazing. But he says, be single-minded, ask in faith. And so asking in faith is obviously asking decisively and making a decision and saying, this is what I'm going to do. And often people will wait around until they've got all the resources, they've got all the open doors, they've got all the connections, they've got all the plans approved. Everything's got to be nailed down before they'll actually step out. But I have found that in the work of God, in the kingdom of God, you got to keep stepping out even when you've got imperfect circumstances surrounding. I'm not talking about being crazy, doing stupid things, but with at least a level of wisdom, stepping out as far as you possibly can and pushing that boundary of your own fear and your own doubts and saying, I'm going to see this thing come to pass in Jesus' name. Without that, like you say, without a decision, nothing much is going to happen. So tell me about this new building you're looking at.
Well, we're in Nijmegen, we're looking around. We haven't found it yet, but, you know, we're speaking to people. We're asking people, keep your eyes open. You know, we've just started to believe for something to happen. And in fact, there's a lot of churches in that city that don't have their own building. So we might even find a building that we can share with some churches. And, you know, we rent it out to them on Saturday or Sunday night or whatever. So we just believe that something is going to happen.
Yeah, I believe that with faith, you get creative, no doubt about it. So Val, in your world of business, are you finding that it's easier online, or it's become more difficult? I mean, the branding world, it would not always be at the top of the budget list, and sometimes people, that's the first thing that goes. They think, why do we need to market and spend all this money on that? How have you faced that in your own business?
excuse me, it's interesting. So I was on a call yesterday with a client and she said, do you feel like it's Groundhog Day? Like every day you get up, you do it all over again. I'm working a lot longer hours than I was prior to this. There's more demands from my clients for me to be present. They're all looking for ideas. So far, so good. Everyone's doing really well. but, you know, yeah. So it's been interesting because I think it's been more demanding in terms of the cycle and also the hours. And you're right. Branding doesn't tend to go as quickly as things like public relations. Those practices tend to be cut fairly quickly, which is interesting because PR can really help you right now. So we haven't really lost any business because of that. But I'm also cognizant of where my clients are at and how they're where their heads are at. And to be totally honest, I love the brands I work on, but I work for people. I don't work for products. And so I guess during this time, if among other things, I do a lot of prayer, and I often pray for my clients, not just so that it'll go well with me, but also that they'll be okay. I mean, I care about these people and I want to see them do well. And we're all, in one way or another, we're very blessed. And we're also, all of us are dealing with some, you know, issues. There's a lot of mental health issues out there right now. It's a lot of isolation, fear. And so this is a time where, as a person of faith, I can speak into people's lives with faith and with love and with hope. And I can pray for them and believe for them. So if I feel very strongly that this is a time for me in particular in the work that I do to hold up the people that I serve, and do my best to share the good news through the way that I work with them and interact with them. So
it's awesome.
Everyone's feeling stressed right now.
Yeah, so yeah. We've got the answer. Be anxious for nothing, and that's, give everything to God in prayer, and you'll enjoy mental and emotional health if you can actually let it go. Letting go is the difficult part for some people, you know, and not giving it to them and then taking it back as soon as the prayer's finished and start worrying about it all over again. To not worry is more difficult than to worry, obviously, but it's just refusing those anxious thoughts. Don't give them oxygen. Start thinking about some other things that are beautiful to think about. And we can feel like, oh, that would be irresponsible. I got to think about it. And it's trying to grab our thoughts all the time. It'll only bury you with anxiety and depression as we give it to God. Say, Lord, you look after it. I'm committing my ways into your hands. That's an act of faith. And especially in a time, just as we come to a close here, we've got about 3 minutes left, Ian, before we go. You know, like I've found that many ministers have experienced a real downturn in the giving. Some have just held on to the same levels they were pre-COVID. A lot of, I know our C3 churches have very good generosity. The culture of generosity is alive and well in a lot of our churches. But I do know that people are experiencing a loss of attendance, even when the restrictions are eased, and a loss of income. How are you counteracting that in your world, Ian?
Yeah, I think culture is everything. Like, we have already had established a strong culture of giving and trusting God, like, however the circumstances. In fact, I believe that when economic circumstances, you know, take a downturn, then especially it's important to give the first to God and keep trusting Him. So we've always taught that to our people, and we have found that people have taken... they have done that, and they have in a period when we couldn't meet between March and June, we didn't meet. We only had a live stream. Our giving was up. We had more giving come in than in the couple of years before that.
So amazing.
Even though we were only on live stream, but I found that people were so desperate. They were like, we need something from God, and we're going to tune into this live stream. We want to hear from God. We want to trust God. So we are going to give to God. And now we have gone fully digital in our giving. We haven't even put the transfer cards back on the seat.
Right.
Because people are used to it now.
Yes. Yeah. And it's much more convenient and regular if they can make it an automatic debit. I think that helps immensely. So I think leading a church with wisdom as much as with faith is super important in these times. Well, I wish both of you all the best. And as you take steps of faith, moving out in the power of God, everybody who's jumped on to this podcast, thank you very much for being with us. It's our honor and privilege to be in your home or in your ears if you're at the gym. And can I urge you, think about buying that book, Do It Now, which is my most recent book. You can download it. It's only available as an ebook. You could give it as a gift this Christmas to somebody. Although it's a pretty aggressive title, Do It Now, but it could help somebody make a decision and move, make a move in their life that they'd be nervous about or afraid of. Thanks again, Val and Ian, for being on this podcast. Such a pleasure and a delight to have a chat with you about this whole area of getting out of procrastination and making big, bold steps in these times. God bless you, and we look forward to talking again very soon. Amen.